everybody, and welcome to this episode of A&K on the Runway.
Hey, guys.
I kind of felt like they mailed this episode in.
Yeah, it wasn't very exciting or compelling. And I think part of it was the fact that it was an unconventional materials challenge, and then you just spend so much time focusing on what people don't know what to do with these unconventional materials instead of sort of the designs. And they kept focusing on the fact that there's only six people and that Tim Gunn has not yet used his save.
Right. So, as you said, this is an unconventional materials challenge. It is the Lexus unconventional materials challenge.
Which, it does, that doesn't matter.
Right. They didn't say that anybody like wins a car or anything like that. Like, they just...
Purely one of their sponsors.
Right. So the materials that the designers use this time are safety materials. So we got a lot of like snow fence and caution tape and
rafts and life vests.
Yeah, like, you know, I thought it was just like construction materials, yeah, but they did kind of broaden the horizon with like safety, yes, with like life vests.
Mm-hmm.
Knee pads, seat belts, things like that.
The reason they're working with safety materials is because Lexuses are really safe.
Yes. However, fashion is not safe, as they pointed out as well. So Tim points out that the safety materials are going to be the only thing the designers can use for their designs.
Yeah, there's no
trip
supplemental
to mood.
Fabric for mood, anything right. like that. It's purely these unconventional materials.
Right.
And Brandon, you get a talking head with Brandon, and he asks, why? Why are we doing this? I just want to use fabric. And I agree, Brandon. I wholeheartedly agree. This wasn't as bad as I believe last season was when they had three unconventional materials. They had a lot last season. So this is the second one for this season. And Heidi always says how much she loves them because it pushes designers to think outside the box. I get that. I get the creative element of it, but a lot of them said, you know, this reminds me of art school. And so I just don't get necessarily the high fashion or, you know, the fashion elements of it. Like, why are we not having them go to mood and get fabric or, you know what I mean? To me, that doesn't compute.
Right. Especially this late in the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard to say that a designer should be punished and eliminated simply because they got unlucky and didn't grab the right materials and things like that. Like,
because the designers did have 3 minutes to grab all their materials.
Yes. Which were packed into the three different Lexuses.
Yes. Yeah. You could tell they weren't really loving that. Did you get the sense?
Throughout the show, you really did get the vibe that none of the designers were all that thrilled to be doing an unconventional material challenge this late in the game.
Maybe Ayana and Margarita would be the exceptions to that, who seemed to have fun with it, but, you know.
Right.
And they only have one day. And again, I ask, why all these only one day challenges? I don't know how long. I always wonder how long one day is. I think it's got to be at least 12 hours.
Yeah. So as we get back to the design room, you see all the designers kind of taking stock of what they have and what they can use, some more obsessively than others. Margarita literally like puts everything into categories like in its own thing and counts exactly how much of everything she has.
Yeah, she essentially takes a very detailed inventory.
Right. And then you have Kenya, who during the material collection definitely seemed to be struggling with getting as much materials as the rest of the designers. So she is basically going around the design room asking if anybody has any leftovers, any things that they don't think they're going to use, most specifically safety belts.
She is just begging for seat belts at this point, but everyone's kind of playing it close to the vest.
Yeah.
Like, well, I might use it, I don't know. And then eventually it worked out, so you have to imagine at some point she collected enough seat belts.
And as that was happening, I was very curious about that because in any other challenge, designers can be like, oh, are you going to use these buttons? Mm-hmm.
Or this extra fabric.
Yeah, this extra fabric, that zipper, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in this, like, part of the challenge is collecting the materials and basically using what you have. Mm-hmm. So in a challenge like this, I didn't know if it would be allowed to get materials from other designers because, I mean, you didn't grab that. That's kind of on you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, the goal is to collect as much as you can and sort of then use that to transform what you got. So that's a good point. It's not like when you just go to Mood and you get a little bit of extra fabric or get a different color because you're not quite sure what you're going to do yet.
Right.
You know, and we are very cognizant of the rules this season, so... I don't know. I didn't really have a ton from the workday.
No, we...
It's like you said, it's sort of just a standard episode in the sense that, you know, everyone's going along, you see what's happening, but nothing is really sticking out to me.
For sure. So we get right into the Tim Gunn critiques, and even these aren't all that detailed. Tim meets with Margarita first. Margarita has created this top with knee pads and reflector light things.
Mm-hmm. Just reflectors.
Yeah, and she just doesn't know if she's doing enough. And Tim definitely warns her to not think so much about what her design is.
Yes. Tim talks with Ayana, and he feels that her design has the potential to be really chic. Like, she is going to play with volume at the bottom, and then she's crushing up reflectors to create sort of a mosaic look. So she's really got a vision of what she's doing, and Tim tells her, you know, just to keep going.
Yeah. Her Ayana above everybody, I think, just floored it from the very beginning. It didn't. There didn't seem to be the struggle that there was with basically all the other designers. She knew what she wanted to do right away and just went for it.
So I do applaud her for that because it's almost like she immediately started working as soon as she got into the workroom and didn't sort of... I never saw them do sketching. And so I think with these unconventional materials, it was sort of like you had to figure out what you had and almost just see what works as you started to kind of unfurl all those materials.
Right. As we said earlier, Kenya was kind of struggling with getting her design together. She's essentially going to be making a dress out of seatbelts, and they're going to be all black. And this was a concern of hers when she talked with Tim because she was very worried that there just would be no color to it. And Tim reminds her that she needs to turn up the volume on her designs.
Tim moves on to Michael, and Michael is creating a sort of bondage look with bungee cords. And then he's made a little bralette out of like a blue safety harness, like a turquoise color. And he has the look separated for Tim to see, and Tim says it feels like it's just two completely different looks that he needs to commit to one or the other and move forward because he'll just have this sort of divided look. And at first, Michael, throughout the early parts of the workday, is feeling really confident and happy with what he's doing. I guess when he did menswear, he sort of did this, you know, sort of like sexy bondage inspired looks, and so that's what he's going to go with. He hasn't really showed it on Project Runway yet. But as the day goes on, and definitely into the runway day, he's not feeling as confident, it seems like. He likes what he's done, but it doesn't feel enough in comparison to Ayana's, who definitely set the tone of what was possible with these materials, I think.
Definitely. They move on to Kentaro, and Kentaro grabbed an entire roll of fire hose, and in kind of working with it, discovered that it's made out of fabric. So that is what he is using on basically his entire outfit. And Tim kind of tells him to stay away from that because he's not really transforming the materials at all. He's using this fire hose fabric as fabric.
Last, we see Brandon's critique, and Tim feels that the top that Brandon's creating, which is out of, I think it was...
It's emergency blanket.
Oh, an emergency blanket. So it's silver and it's very fragile. Is going to look sort of messy compared to this Taylor skirt he's making out of, I believe, a life raft. Tim is really worried. This is a long critique. He feels that he's losing Brandon. Brandon's losing focus, but he just needs to keep developing this look. Because Brandon was really committed to having a black and silver color scheme. And I want to talk for a minute about Brandon's story arc, and I want to get your thoughts on this. So, throughout really much of this season, especially dating back to episode one, it always feels like Brandon is painted as the underdog story. Like, clearly he had more women's wear design than they let on in that very first episode. So we've sort of talked about that before. But especially in these past two episodes, when we get to the Tim Gunn critiques, it feels like Brandon's a little lost, a little unsure, and then somehow, and this is a spoiler for, you know, later in the episode, but somehow he just pulls out this amazing outfit. So my question is he really struggling this much? Or are they sort of playing up that element of, like, this is Brandon?
I do think that he struggles. I don't think that there is some kind of covert operation to where they're like, oh, just tell people you've never worked in men's clothes before or in women's clothes before. And I say that just because nothing that he has made, I think, is super women specific. What? Like, everything is very large and oversized, mm-hmm. which you can get away with.
Yeah, like, he definitely could not create a tailored evening gown.
Right.
I wouldn't think. So, although his look last week was more tailored, especially at the top.
But it wasn't, like, form-fitting still. It was still really loose and flowy.
Yeah, so I just think that's always interesting with Brandon. You just feel like everyone's like, oh, he's a one-trick pony, and then he sort of pulls out something. So I can't tell if that's sort of the editing.
Yeah.
But Brandon does have to rethink that top because during the model fitting, that very delicate material of the emergency blanket was just ripped to shreds by the time he got it on the model's body. So he just starts making a new top with life vests.
Mm-hmm. We also see that Michael is considering scrapping the bralette, and he is going to Margarita for some advice. And was Kenya there as well?
I think so.
Yeah, they both were like, that's probably the best part of your entire outfit. I don't think that you should get rid of that. And then you have Margarita, who... Margarita, we have seen, lets people get into her head.
Yeah.
She is very aware of what everyone else in the design room is doing. And so she sees what Ayana has put together so far, and it's very, very detail-oriented and very, not loud, but there is a lot to this design.
Mm-hmm.
And Margarita thinks that she has to keep up with that. She has to turn up everything that she is doing, even though she's already made a dress. She's already made a top out of knee pads. Like,
right. Yeah, she's not...
It's already kind of over the top.
She doesn't see, or she doesn't have the objectivity to see them, you know, side by side. And she's usually very worried about what everyone else is doing, which is how we got to the thing about Claire.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the only really things that I have, I'm just noting that Ayana is just throwing every possible element at her dress. It is just so much. So she is just, she's painting on it. She's painting on the snow fence. She is adding more crystals. She's cutting out like foam. They were like little buoys, and she's, you know, putting those as shoulder pads. So she's putting a lot into this look. Do you have anything else about the workday?
Not really. Once we get to the day of the runway, people are definitely running around. And it seems like everybody's designs are falling apart all at the same time.
Yes.
as Ayana is getting everything together, she has a sleeve just completely,
like the bottom half of the breed just
breaks off. And so she goes and she like hot glues it together and puts it right back on. I was like, that's going to scald the model.
That had to be awful for that poor model. And then the Kenya's seatbelts are fraying. And then with, it seems like 5 minutes to go before they have to go down to the runway, the zipper breaks for Kenya's dress.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because seatbelts are really thick, I have to imagine, of that fabric. And so just sewing in like a conventional zipper just probably is very difficult. Kentaro's model, we get a model mirror with her. I believe it was Lyris.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she looks like Pocahontas going to play football. She's not really loving her look. The styling of it is a little odd. But really, we just sort of see a lot of running around, a lot of last-minute details, a lot of glue gunning with everyone, particularly with Margarita and Kentaro. So our guest judge for this runway show is Carly Chaykin. Is that how it was pronounced?
I think it was like Shaken.
Shaken. She is on Mr. Robot, which we have not seen. So I didn't know who she was really, but she seemed to have some good insights.
Yeah. There was a running theme with her. Yeah. She apparently likes the color
really
blue.
Really loves the color blue.
She made a point to point out on every single person's outfit that used it that she liked that blue that they used.
Which was overkill at some point. It's always interesting to me to see how the guest judges sort of integrate and interact with the just regular judges on the show. Some people are a little bit more, you know, meek and mild-mannered. Like Emmy Rossum is a little bit, it was always sort of more positive in her critiques.
Mm-hmm.
Some are just crazy harsh, get right into it, sort of act a little bit like a Simon Cowell a la American Idol back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly
Osbourne does that.
Osbourne. Yeah, and she's on Project Runway Juniors now, which that can't be a good
right.
for like children. But yeah, so it's really interesting to see, you know, what level. And I do imagine that actresses, even though Carly Chaykin, I'm sure she's appeared on some red carpets, but so they have to have some sort of level of experience with either designers or high fashion or the overall styling of a look. So I guess in my mind, that's the sort of expertise they're bringing to it, but they obviously don't have any sort of construction experience. I mean, maybe they do, but they're not designing or making their own clothes.
Right.
So also, we really are just getting this hardcore reminder about the Tim Gunn save and that we've had 10 episodes and he hasn't used it yet. So my prediction was that there will be a Tim Gunn save for this episode.
I thought that as well, most especially just because of how much they were bringing it up. But also, like we said earlier, it's really hard to send somebody home off of an unconventional materials challenge when we're this close to the final 3/4/however many they decide to take this year. So we get into the runway and Brandon's look is the first to come down. He scrapped, probably quite literally, that emergency blanket top and creates one out of life vests and life rafts. He has a tailored skirt to go with it. This is really hard to judge for me, because he did an amazing job of manipulating the materials.
Mm-hmm.
That skirt that he put together looks great, and that always looked great from even when he had that silvery top. But you just got a lot of the same Brandon styling.
Mm-hmm.
This oversized crop top. I mean, this look, the top looks, other than, you know, the colors and design of it, looks exactly like the top that he used in the last unconventional materials challenge.
For sure.
So it's one thing to establish an aesthetic, and it's another just to keep repeating the same things over and over again.
Yeah, I agree with you. So what we have is a black and yellow top. One side of it, the left side of it is black. The right side of it is yellow, like a safety vest yellow that you would use like on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
there's sort of, I'm not even sure what that is, but there's orange, like, triangles sort of mixed in on the yellow side, almost creates a sort of pattern. It has to be some sort of...
Might be caution tape.
Yeah, maybe caution tape. And then the skirt is black with white trim at the top and yellow trim at the bottom. And he used, I think he said it was some of the fire hose material to create a sort of geometric pattern of white over the black. And so that looks really cool. It does look very hip hop. The skirt is really cute. I don't love, it doesn't look like safety materials. Like, he did the best job in my mind of transforming the materials. But like Curtis said, this is the same shirt we have seen him make before. It's like an oversized sweatshirt crop top look. And it does fit well. It's just, I can't envision a full collection from Brandon. Even though Zach Posen is just convinced it would be the most amazing collection.
Mm-hmm.
Kintaro's look walks the runway next. And he has used the fabric that wraps fire hoses to create a skirt and a top. And it's sort of, it's a pleated skirt at the bottom, right above the knee. And then on the top, he created fringe right across the bust and at the bottom of the top, because it's sort of like maybe a mock crop top. It meets the top of that skirt. But then he glued on arrows, essentially. He just cut out arrows from other safety materials in red and yellow, and then glued them on about the waistband and then of the skirt and then the top of the shirt. But then he styled her with two half braids on each side of her face, and then had shoes that had fringe on them. So she really does look like a Native American, like a play on a Native American outfit. It's just very costumey, especially with, yeah, like that styling. And it's not super transformative with the materials because it was already fabric, but it is really well made and it does seemingly fit her well. I know the top was like a little off, but it is like fiberglass fabric.
Yeah, I mean, I said pretty much the same thing. This was a big miss for him. I thought that this was an innovative use of the materials. Like, I wouldn't look at a fire hose and think to, like,
cut it open
and basically, you know, use it as the fabric.
That's true.
But I think he just overused it. I think the skirt could stay. I mean, that's because there is some design element to it with mm-hmm. the pleating. But everything else, like, there needed to be more of something else.
Yeah.
Rather than just the entire outfit being this fire hose, essentially.
If he had a different skirt or a different top with that skirt, I think it could have been something very different, somewhat better. It wouldn't have looked so Native American, mm-hmm. I think. The styling was just really bad.
Up next, we have Michael. And Michael did end up keeping that bralette. But he kind of did what Tim told him not to do and combined it with the bungee thing that he was already putting together. He did create a skirt, I think he said, out of just ace bandages and mm-hmm. painted them black
mm-hmm.
and then added some kind of netting around that and then slips this bungee cord outfit, whatever you want to call it, over all the top of it. I didn't think there was much design to this at all. I thought the bungee cord thing was a mistake from the very, very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just got way too, like, he started with that and just got too focused on it and never even looked away or even considered not using that. So,
mm-hmm.
This just doesn't look very good to me at all.
Yeah, and there have been past iterations of an unconventional materials challenge when someone has done something like this. I think it was even with bungee cords, and I don't know if you remember that. I'm not remembering.
There was one with, like, they used the computer.
Oh yeah.
Stuff, and he used exact same thing mm-hmm. with Ethernet cords. And stuff
like that. Yeah, so, I mean, that's really been done before. And it is a sexy look, but then you think about it and you're like, there's not a lot of design to it because it's just a bandage skirt, that bralette, and then these bungees. But the way he styled it, like he gave her a top knot and a very dark lip, like a bluish black lip. And it does kind of come across as like a little hookerish, I think. Like I definitely see that. And just because we're around Halloween time, there is a bit of a costume feel to it, to where it's like, oh, I'm going to be, you know, go for a sort of pretty woman look. And this is what I came up with using materials I had in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just so simple. And I think he missed the mark. Next is Ayana's look. And she has quite a bit. Like, she has quite a look. So I'll start with from head to toe. She stuck a hard hat on her that she painted. So it's an orange hard hat that she kind of splattered some gray or black paint on. Then she used caution tape to make a hijab for her model. Then at the top, she broke reflectors that were blue, orange, and red. And then starting with the blue and going into the orange created this mosaic effect on... She's got, it looks like leather. It's a long, or it's a black long sleeve look with a harsh shoulder because she used some foam. Then from about the waist down, it goes into that snow fencing. And she painted and sort of manipulated by like tying this snow fence. And it is over the top with all these elements. But the fencing doesn't look as much like a snow fence as I thought it would. It... From afar and even on TV on the runway, it looks sort of like flowers or something, like a delicate lace almost, the way she's integrated it, because she really did integrate it into the body of the dress, because it goes over, I think that safety raft that looks like a black leather goes all the way down into a full-length dress, and she's sort of pretty expertly attached the snow fence. I think the hard hat was too much, and it is really innovative. I mean, she did a lot of work on it, but like the hard hat just really put it over the edge for me.
Yeah, I agree. This dress overall is incredible. It looks very, very cool. Like you said, that raft looks like she made that out of the top looks like she looked out of leather, and then it just kind of does this melting effect because She puts black paint on the snow fence, just kind of throughout it, but she has a lot of it more towards the top and then just kind of tapers off as it goes down to the bottom. So it looks like this just kind of melting into the bottom of the dress.
That's a great way to describe that.
And then the mosaic thing was very cool. Like we said earlier, she had the clearest vision out of all the designers, almost to the point to where it's like she knew what she was going to do as she's gathering these materials, and she just grabbed exactly what she needed and was done.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the hard hat looks really dumb. I didn't think she needed the caution tape hijab either, but yeah, that's her thing. I get it. She also had this like yellow caution tape, like as an X over the front of the model, which she had the model like rip it off right away as she came on. But like there was just like she just needed to stop at some point.
Yeah.
It was just like, all right, you've done it. Like you did it. You won. Like calm down. You don't need to do this anymore.
Because having the hard hat and having the hijab made out of the caution tape, like that's not very transformative to me. It is like you're just put him on there because it was an unconventional materials challenge.
Yeah.
Safety.
And you had like you.
Yeah.
You felt like you needed to use every single thing that you grabbed. And so you're just like, sure. Next we have Kenya. And like we said earlier, Kenya has a dress made completely out of seatbelts. I think the top half of the dress is something a little bit different. But
ace bandages.
Yeah, ace bandages and a life raft.
Mm-hmm.
But she basically just uses the seat belts in a weave for the bottom of this skirt and the ace bandages and the life raft on the top. This is very simple, but is very, very well done. It looks very elegant and very chic and just a very, very daring look. she ended up painting the seatbelts even more black,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of surprising because she was so worried about it being too black, and then she went more black.
Something about this that's so black, it's like, how much more black could this be? And the answer is none.
Is that good?
More black.
Which kind of gives it a little extra gloss and a little extra dimension. The silhouette is really, really weird. It's she gives this a very exaggerated hip, which when the model first appears behind the screen, it just looks very like that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
But as it walks the runway, it doesn't look as bad, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't find the shape very flattering. I mean, no one wants extra volume on their hips. I mean, that I didn't love that. To me, everything is off-center slightly, and it drives me bonkers. Like, don't you feel like the little slit in the top is a little off, and the way that the seatbelt belt is a little off?
A little, yeah.
Like, it kind of drives me nuts. And the open zipper doesn't look that bad in the back. Like, it doesn't look like it's much of a mistake as you thought it might, mm-hmm. given that there was 5 minutes to go when the zipper wasn't working. It is well made, but this is sort of Kenya's bread and butter, these very simple designs. They're very elegant, and they're very well constructed, but it's not something that any other designer who's good at construction couldn't create,
mm-hmm.
I think is sort of the problem. Lastly, we have Margarita, who created sort of a mini dress look. I'll start from the bottom up. She made sort of a mini skirt by weaving the yellow and red caution tape together. Then she sort of has like a harness top. So she used the knee pads to just right over the boobs, and then she used a safety, like a turquoise safety harness, and sort of correctly placed the straps of that. Then she sawed hard hats in half and has, like on the back, over the shoulders, like over the scapulas, has these hard hats, and she painted those, and she used sort of the shavings of the hard hat on the knee pads to sort of pull in all the colors together. And it does look, I mean, this is very innovative, very inventive. I don't really see the full transformation of some of the materials, like especially the skirt, because it's just the weaving of the caution tape. Like, that didn't seem very transformative to me, but it was really well made. I just wasn't sure if it was fashionable. It seemed more like a costume, like a superhero costume.
Yeah, I think this is where you get a problem in judging these unconventional materials challenge, because you have, say, Brandon and Ayana, who kind of transform these materials to make it look that it isn't made out of this.
Yeah.
You know, whatever they use. And then you have Margarita, who you can clearly tell what all of these things are, but it's how she manipulates them. And like, for example,
puts it all together.
Right. For like that hard hat shoulder thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's genius to me. Like the ability to look at a hard hat and say, okay, let me just cut that in half, and I'm going to make shoulder pads out of it.
It's very impressive.
It's very impressive. And, you know, Kenya, as this walks down the runway, Kenya says, I wish I had enough imagination to just look at that and see it in a completely different way and how it could be used another way.
And you can sort of see, since they had back-to-back designs that walked the runway, you can sort of see the difference in how their mind works a little bit. I think Kenya's a little bit more conventional. And I mean, I'm more in the camp with Kenya. I don't have that sort of creative artistic ability that Margarita is displaying here. And so it is very amazing. And I think that's a great point with these unconventional materials challenges, and probably why Heidi does like them so much, is it does force you to get creative. And some people really do transform it into, it looks like fabric. Like they could have recreated that look with fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas other people, a la Margarita's look, it's more like, no, I took these materials and I went in this sort of crazy, innovative sort of way that I couldn't really replicate with fabric.
For sure.
So that is sort of the challenge of judging it, I guess.
Right. So while this is very inventive, it just does come off a little tacky to me.
Yeah.
I was never on board with the knee pad
as
the top thing. Like, right when they showed that, I mean, she
walked
in the early stages, she walks in and puts it, boom, right on the dress form like that. And we both, So it's just a little too on the nose and a little tacky to me. But like I said, I mean, she probably does the best of putting a look together with materials. Like, sometimes it's bad when you can look at the, in these challenges, it's bad when you can look at it and be like, okay, those are, like earlier,
you
it was like,
tell
oh, those were, yeah, those were Coke, like the, you know, six pack holders.
Yeah.
Like, you're not changing that at all. I can tell what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's bad. But sometimes in this, where it's like, oh, those are definitely knee pads, but how she uses them is so...
Like, thank God she didn't put them over her knees or
right,
something.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, it's so innovative that you don't mind that you can tell exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. So did you make a guess for top and bottom?
Yeah, I have Brandon, Ayana, and Margarita on the top. I think Ayana's going to win. And then Kentaro, Kenya, and Michael on the bottom. I think Kentaro's going to go home.
Oh, we almost have exact same. I have everything except I say Kenya's going to be out with the Tim Gunn save.
Okay.
Yeah. So we get to the judging, and it's a little bit surprising because we have four top and two bottom, which they've been doing more of this season.
Right.
And that's where I'm like, wait, aren't there rules? Like, isn't there a clear cutoff?
I mean, when you only have six people, you can't exactly just be like, you can't say, oh, well, this person had...
Sorry, Kenya, you were fourth.
Yeah, so you're on the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, you can't really do that. Like, when you... It's easy to do that when there are 12 people up there and...
There's obviously a more range of scores.
Right. I mean, chances are you're not going to have, you know, 10 great looks and two bad ones. Mm-hmm. Like... You're going to have about a top three and a bottom three.
I wonder if there is a sort of judging cutoff. You know what I mean? As far as if you get this amount of score, you have to be a top score.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what their judging system is, but I just get that impression. So they start with Brandon, and he sort of explains his materials and how he created the look and his process. And Zach says that he just adores this look. That this is spectacular. You know, the skirt is a little short in the back, but it has such nice movement. Nina thinks it feels very street. And Heidi says it's flirty and hard at the same time.
With Michael, Nina thought that the look lacked drama. There just wasn't a ton to it. And that his model looked like a backup dancer. Carly said that the model looks hookerish. Heidi pointed out that she didn't think Michael worked quite as hard as the other designers.
Yeah, which is harsh.
To which Michael was just like, yeah, I agree with you there. Zach liked the color and the texture, but overall he was pretty disappointed with this.
Mm-hmm. Everyone thought that Kenya's was really good, which I was a little surprised about. Everyone thought that there was a lot of detail and it was very cool. Zach thought the painting created great dimension. Didn't really love the shape, but Nina did really like that exaggerated silhouette.
As expected, everybody was pretty head over heels for Ayana's look. Heidi thought that it was fantastic, and it was over the top. It was sleek, modern, and chic. Zach thought that it was superb work. And Nina said that when the model came out, it looked like she was on fire. And she just loved the drama and the elegance of the entire look.
Everyone also really liked Margarita's. Heidi got a superhero vibe, said it was very innovative. The judges felt it was very modern, that the textile was inventive, there was good dimension. I think it was Zach that said that there was a little bit of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle vibe.
Definitely Zach.
And he still wasn't sure what her style is. He's still not sure what her overall style is. that she's not really, doesn't really have a voice. And I thought that was an interesting critique.
How are you supposed to show that in an unconventional materials challenge?
Yeah, and he said that a couple of times this season, like mostly to the twins. But I don't get that from Margarita. I feel like I see her style week to week. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Finally, with Kentaro, Nina chides him for his lack of vision. Heidi thinks that the model looks like a doll and she's just way too stiff. And Zach thought that Zach was actually relatively complimentary of everything. He thought that he could have taken a lot of the stuff away and it would have looked better, but that the colors and then the piping that Kentaro added just kind of added some kitsch to it.
So it turns out, unsurprisingly, that Ayana is the winner. And then they let Brandon, Margarita, and Kenya go back. Everyone, they are all safe. So it is down between Michael and Kentaro. And we learn that Michael is out.
I was relatively surprised by this.
Yeah.
I thought that Kentaro's was pretty obviously the worst out of all of them. I didn't think Michael's was good by any means, but yeah, I did think that Kentaro didn't really heed Tim's words at all.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was just so bland. And I mean, the stuff that he added was simply that. Like it didn't add anything to it. It was adding for the sake of adding things.
Yeah, he's not really able to change course very well in the middle of the day.
No.
I think so. And we both thought there would be a Tim Gunn save, although I didn't think Tim would use it on Michael. Not that he hasn't demonstrated ability. I mean, he won two challenges, but he would have these just wild swings, and this wasn't sort of his first miss.
And I think that it would be very hard to keep Michael after this challenge, because I feel like the only way that he could have saved him would be because he disagreed with the challenge itself.
Mm-hmm.
That, like we said, why somebody shouldn't have to go home off of an unconventional materials challenge. So he's essentially saying, why are we doing that? Like, why even have this episode in the first place?
Yeah, so if it had been Kentaro, maybe. Just based on Kentaro's, you know, past designs. But no save at all. And next week it looks like it's a high fashion challenge.
I didn't quite get that. Like, they showed him in, like, a boxing ring.
Oh, yeah. Based off of, I forget what it was based off of.
So it's going to be inspired by something.
Some sort of boxing element. Okay, what are your power rankings?
Number 5, I have Ayana still. She did do great in this episode. She was the clear winner from the absolute beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, she looked like she was done super early in this episode. So I still haven't gotten when they have to do actual challenges. I still haven't gotten anything from her that sets her apart from everybody else.
Yeah, she did well last week and this week, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure like what a full collection from her would really be like. My number 5 is Kenya. I realized in this episode, and I sort of said it already, that she just makes very pretty classic pieces, but there's nothing that's sort of setting her apart. She's a very good tailor. She's a very good constructor, but sometimes her designs aren't there. So I feel like she's sort of sliding a little. My number 4 is Ayana, similar to the reasons that we just articulated. I know that she's done well the past 2 challenges, but how does that translate to high fashion?
I have Kenya as my number 4. I think early in this season, we had her tabbed as like this season's Laurence, to where she was making everything very, very well, and it just was a matter of time before she really showed. We haven't gotten to that point yet for her.
I still don't think she's won a challenge.
She has not.
Mm-hmm.
And Margarita made a comment this episode where she listed herself, Michael, Brandon, Kentaro as kind of the tops. And then Ayana and Kenya were just kind of dressmakers, which I kind of see that now. Mm-hmm. Like, there isn't a ton of design, like you said, not a ton of design to what Kenya does. It's all just very, very well made.
Yeah.
And you could only kind of get by on that for so long. My number three is Margarita. She's just been very steady this entire season. She's only had maybe one mishap, and that was in the model as your client challenge. Mm-hmm. And she made something that her model really liked.
Yeah.
So it's hard to really get down on her about that. She definitely has a lot of talent, and I think that once we get past all of this, you know, kind of gimmicky stuff, and they're just allowed to make clothes, I think she'll really start to shine.
My number three is Kentaro. I think he's a really strong designer. He's obviously very good at constructing clothes. I just think that sometimes in some of the challenges, he just loses his way. He was on a real upswing, and now he's sort of sliding down again. I think he will end up making it to Fashion Week. I just think that Brandon and Margarita are having sort of a stronger final push. My number two is Margarita, for the reasons that Curtis just articulated. She just has been really steady. She's making good clothes. She's making good decisions about kind of the crucial design elements of her clothes. So I think that she's really closing strong.
I think she's just kind of the voice of the show now, mm-hmm. as well. She just seems to be featured the most in terms of the talking heads and things like
she
that.
She just has
this very exuberant personality.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is Kentaro. He, like you said, is struggling a little bit right now. And kind of as I said last week, it's kind of hard to say why.
Yeah.
There's nothing happened to where, you know, say he really tried to go outside the box and the judges didn't see it the way that he did. And so he ended up on the bottom and just kind of made it through. And so, like, he went back to his safe place. Like,
mm-hmm.
nothing like that happened. So it's hard to understand why, especially last week, he went to something that really just didn't have much inspiration behind it.
Yeah.
But based off of the work that we've already seen, he clearly it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he has to find it again. Which leaves number one for both of us with Brandon. I mean, got to give him credit this week especially.
Yeah.
What he made this week was incredible.
And he's such a judge's favorite. Like, it would be silly not to. I mean, if we're basing this off the reality of the show, you know, he is clearly a judge's favorite. Now, next week is high fashion. So that may require him to push a little bit more. So we'll see how that turns out. But they clearly want to see more from him.
So like we said, next week is some kind of boxing-inspired high fashion challenge. Wasn't really clear
on what that is. Some crazy sponsored plant.
Right. But we are down to
five
designers. So
this could be the it to Fashion Week, or there could be two more weeks to the final group. It's hard to say.
Right.
Especially knowing that Tim Gunn Save is still out there.
Right. And we have seen precedent before to where they will take four to Fashion Week. It was two seasons ago when on the last challenge, can't remember his name. He's a designer I really liked. But he made it.
I cannot think of.
There was no bad design that week to take it from four to five, and he just got sent off.
I can only think of Kelly and Candace from that season.
Right. So he was included in that four.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to kill me.
We'll have to look it up.
Right. So getting down to the wire here, definitely. We will see you guys next week for, who knows, it could be who we see going to final to New York Fashion Week.
Yeah. See you guys.
Auf Wiedersehen.